What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. When the truth is being challenged, as the truth is being challenged from both inside and outside the church, does not mean that we sit back and say, well, this is going to work itself out. Don't worry, I have the truth. You often hear people say the truth needs no defense. That's simply not true. The truth needs a defense because the lies obviously have a foothold in the heart of, well, every one of us insofar as we are sinners. So the truth needs that kind of defense. It's part of what the Reformation was really about. It was about standing up and saying, no, this is the truth, and what you have been hearing, either in part or in whole, has been a lie. So what does it mean today when we are called again in another generation to make that same confession, to be and to remain Lutheran? Joining us to talk about that very question on this Thursday afternoon, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why I Am Joyfully Lutheran, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Let's Be Who We Are. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you today.
You are calling for Lutherans simply to be Lutheran. Now, the LCMS hasn't always been true to its Lutheran identity. Tell us a little bit about that, a bit of a history lesson.
Yeah, if you start in the beginning of the 19th century, the LCMS people came over, and they were, the predecessor bodies had some different ideas, but mostly they were Orthodox Lutherans. They went through their travails, and by the Synod's founding in 1847, they were really decided Lutherans with Luther's Catechism and the Lutheran Confessions as a clear definition of their biblical faith. That maintained pretty well through World War II, and then we started to experiment and send some of our best and brightest minds to study in Germany, and they came back viewing the Bible in a different way, though it had errors, and the things that it said happened in the Old Testament and New Testament didn't actually happen. And by the late 50s, we were in clear turmoil, and that lasted quite a time until we had the walkout in 1974, where most of the semprofs at the seminary in here in St. Louis left. And a couple of years later, a couple of 100,000 people left with a number of congregations. So it was a really traumatic event. And our challenge today is really to stay Lutheran, to stay faithful to the Bible in the face of a culture that is just really upon us constantly, every minute of the day. Everything from Facebook to the media, and if they're not blasting us from the left for something or other, then we're getting ideas from the right as though Christianity was coterminous with conservative or Republican politics, and all kinds of challenges for us to face.
There are some who would imagine that the LCMS has a kind of immunity to bad theology and practice today, precisely because we fought that battle for the Bible and emerged, while smaller, more confessional for it. How would you respond to that notion?
It's very dangerous. Luther says that we are all fanatics by nature in the small called articles. Enthusiasm clings to us. That is, we look for God's will and purpose someplace other than his word. And so it's a generational thing. You cannot, as Hermann Zassa said, you cannot hand the confession down from generation to generation like an old book. It has to be lived by each generation. And if you look at a statement on biblical and confessional principles produced by the Synod's Commission on Theology, with the president and others, which was a fundamental treatment of the whole issue of what the Bible is, what its inspiration is, etc., what its authority is. If you look at that document today, you'll see that there are things burning here and there where if we were clearly aware of this document today and clearly on top of what the scriptures say, those things wouldn't be going on. So it's constantly, it's a generational struggle to confess Christ clearly.
You mentioned some of these briefly before, but talk about the temptations that are presented to us, both from within the visible church and in the culture, to distract us from our this centered Lutheran way of being.
The draw of American evangelicalism is enormous, and it's always been very, very significant. Historically, the draw of Lutheranism toward mostly evangelicals or Reformed Christians. Reformed Christians have historically looked at us poor Lutherans and said, well, you poor Christians still have the liturgy, you still have these things called sacraments, you wear vestments, you have pastors, you have an office of the ministry, you believe in the body and blood of Christ and the sacrament, infant baptism. You almost are part of the Reformation, but you haven't come all the way. Come all the way to us. And when our people are reading all kinds of books, and there's a lot of good stuff out there beyond what is published by our publishing house and Lutheran Sources, to be sure, a lot of thoughtful things, but it's very dangerous when you start to sup at that table of American evangelicalism, which is very different from Lutheranism's clarity on justification by grace through faith, which is this righteousness of Christ, which is imputed, accredited to ours. It's a legal declaration. And that this justification is something that not only happens once in our past when we so-called invite Jesus into our hearts, it's God grabbing us at a font, grabbing us by his word, creating faith, and keeping us in his hand unto eternity through the doctrine of election. And also, along with this comes a very clear biblical way of living. Vocation is a wonderful thing. Creation is a magnificent thing. We're not Puritans. We also live joyously knowing that we're sinners. We're at the same time saint and sinner. You don't get away from sin in this life. Impossible. That's why we need Christ. If you won't be a sinner, you have no Savior, says Luther to his best buddy one time. So it's a whole way of living. At the same time, look, we know wherever Jesus is believed on, wherever his blood and cross are believed for salvation, there's a Christian. But we know the full story. We know what it is to be joyfully Lutheran. And that's, I'd say, the whole lot of the catechism. Throw those basics in.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about being and remaining Lutheran on this Thursday, January the 10th. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, we'll talk about what it means to be and remain Lutheran in several areas, beginning with making disciples.
To a man with a dream.
The recent unprecedented decline in American Christianity has been well documented. But what can we as Lutherans do about it? This question is at the heart of the Lutheran Witness's January issue on missions and evangelism. Start to finish, readers will encounter faith, courage, conviction, and the assurance that, as Victor Raj puts it, in the church, ministry and mission always go together. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Thank you for helping us make budget and for more than 5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2018. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 11 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Concordia University Chicago's music programs will support your aspirations, whether you want to pursue a professional career in music or simply improve your skills. Experience a wide variety of musical learning and performance in a Christian environment. Auditions for music scholarships will be held February 9th, 16th, and 18th, open to both music majors and non-majors. Admitted students, register today by logging into connect.cuchicago.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about being a remaining Lutheran. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He has written a recent column for the Lutheran Witness Magazine titled, Let's Be Who We Are. The Lutheran Witness Magazine interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. Learn more about it, cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. Matt, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be and remain Lutheran in certain specific areas, beginning with making disciples.
The church consists of pastors and hearers, preachers and hearers, shepherd and sheep. The Lord has instituted an office of the ministry to proclaim the word to the church and to the world, and also the people. The people hear that word proclaimed, but they themselves are also spiritual priests, and they are to proclaim the wonders of the mysteries of God. St. Peter tells us that the spiritual priesthood gives each individual Christian certain rights and responsibilities, the right to speak Christ's word to his neighbor. Think of the woman at the well. She says, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the text says, and many believe because of her witness. So, every Christian has the right and responsibility to speak of Jesus where God puts him or her, at work, at home, especially at home, at work, at school, to speak of Jesus wherever it is appropriate and possible. And also as spiritual priests, we pray and we do acts of love and mercy for our neighbor. And pastors proclaim the word when we gather for church. Build us up, forgive us our sins, send us out the door so we can love, pray for, serve our neighbors, and speak Christ to them. That's the Lutheran paradigm for mission. And mission happens especially when churches are planted, where another group of people is called together by the word, and a pastor serves them, and they grow together with their families, etc. They have a pastor who is serving them on behalf of Christ. That's the Lutheran mission.
What about what it means to be and remain Lutheran when it comes to fidelity to Scripture as the very Word of God?
The Bible has authority because it is the inspired Word of God. Jesus believed this about the Bible. Jesus will say things like, as the Holy Spirit saith through the prophet David. Or when Jesus responds to the devil, he says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's very interesting, even in those passages which historically have been so difficult for us to believe, like Jonah and the whale, Jesus himself regards as historic. He also mentions Adam and Eve, a real Adam and Eve, and God made them, male and female created he them, etc. Jesus quotes Genesis in Matthew 19. And we also know, we recognize in the scriptures the very words of our Savior Christ, the very words of God our Father. So it's very important to be struck by the law, the word of the law to strike us down, and the gospel of Christ, free forgiveness, raises us up and gives us forgiveness. And when that happens, we can't help but begin to look at the Bible and say, I recognize the voice of my Savior here, and to know that that voice is authoritative, absolutely so.
What about being and remaining Lutheran in the area of our public worship?
Yes. There's a great amount of freedom in worship issues. There's no doubt about that. I think one can convincingly argue that instrumentation fundamentally is not the issue. What the Lutheran Church's worship does is hold up the gospel front and center. At the beginning of the service is the invocation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This has been done since the early times of the Church. Then comes the confession and the absolution. If you're ditching the name of God, the triune God, if you're ditching the confession and absolution, whosoever sins, ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Jesus gave that gift to the church himself, John 20, Matthew 18. You're ditching the gospel. If you're preaching, if preaching is not a clear exposition of the scriptures, holding forth the message that sin is condemned, all sinners are condemned, me and all sinners. When you're sitting in a pew, you really should feel the sting of the law. It's the pastor's goal that everybody hearing recognizes that he or she is a sinner, because only sinners get Jesus. And then it is his duty to preach Christ right into the ears of the hearer. And right through the ears to the soul, faith cometh by hearing. I tell you, this blood of Christ, this Jesus, he dies a real Savior on a real cross. He is not a fake Savior who sheds watercolor blood on a rubber cross. He's a real Savior for real sinners just like you. Without preaching that is full of law and gospel, we lose Christ. And we don't mess around with the Lord's words of institution in the Lord's Supper. They were given to us in a very sacred moment, Jesus' last night before he was crucified, as his last will and testament. And because we believe that there is a church which has existed since Jesus and before, we don't act like that church has no say or has never existed. That's why we're happy to confess the very truth of the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, and to confess them word for word, acknowledging that we agree completely with the ancient church and the church through all time about who God is and who God is for us in Christ Jesus.
What about being and remaining Lutheran when it comes to upholding the pastoral office?
The office of the ministry is a gift to the church. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that we should respect our leaders and listen to them. And it would be no benefit for us if they find their job very difficult because of us. The office of the ministry is given to the church by Christ. It is witnessed to also by the apostles repeatedly, especially Paul in the pastoral epistles. He ascended on high and gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors. Pastors, however, are not to lord it over the sheep, Peter says. Pastors exist to serve the sheep, to love them, to stand in the stead of Christ. Martin Luther and our Lutheran forefathers say all over the place that the hands that baptize might be the pastors, but they're actually Christ's. You're baptized by Christ. You receive the body and blood of Christ from Christ's own hands, even though it comes via a pastor. You hear Christ's own word from the lips of your pastor. The pastor is to be honored for his vocation. By the same token, the pastor, like a shepherd, lays down his life and cares for the sheep. The pastor is not to be consumed by greed, not to be consumed by drunkenness or other combative activity. The pastor is to serve. The greatest way that Jesus demonstrated his authority was by laying his life down for the sheep. And pastors exercise their authority the best way when they do it the same way. They sacrifice themselves for the sheep. Whenever there's problems between pastor and people, then there's repentance that always needs to happen. And thank God it happens many, many times and will continue to happen because we're all sinners.
We're talking about being a remaining Lutheran. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a member of the LCMS who's thinking about a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019, check out the Lutheran Federal Credit Union at lutheranfcu.org. Good for you, good for the church. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. On the other side of the break, we will continue talking about being a remaining Lutheran with respect to upholding the intrinsic value of life and marriage and family. Stay tuned. What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
O morning star, O morning star, shine forth bright to throw.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the need to be and remain Lutheran. Matt, let's talk about upholding the intrinsic value of life, marriage, and family as part of that being and remaining Lutheran.
No matter what way the culture blows, no matter what new and crazy ideas come forth, God has created us. This culture is adrift because 200 years ago, Hegelian philosophy began to affect the viewpoint of the world and development, and the idea was recapitulated, an ancient idea, that everything has developed largely from nothing through a series of clashes and struggles, and the fittest survive. God is explained away. Well, we know that God is the creator of all things. We know it by divine revelation. The Bible teaches it. In the beginning was God. And it goes on to tell about a marvelous creation. Jesus believed that God the Father created. Also, the scriptures say the creation happened through the Word, the pre-incarnate Christ. And God creates life, human life. And what God creates is valuable. And it always shall be so. There is a continuous creation. God does not just sort of create everything and then like winding it up and letting it go. He implants in us, in the entire earth, in all animal life, the ability to procreate and to continue to produce life, which is the greatest of miracles. And we confess it as such. To destroy it for any purpose is always sin. And it's a great way to live. A lot of people say, well, you Lutherans or you pro-life people, yeah, sure, you don't take care of anybody who really gets in trouble. You just want to legislate into people's bedrooms. No, we actually love people. And even in our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the money alone that has come through this national office where I sit here at 1333 South Kirkwood Road in St. Louis, the money that has come through here in the last decade or two, probably $100 to $140 million for mercy projects around the world, domestic issues, domestic violence, caring for orphans, taking care of people who are hurt in disasters, etc. Those dollars have flowed through this building, and that's just the money given by folks around the country for this effort nationally. That doesn't count the things that 6,000 Lutheran congregations of the Missouri Synod are doing all over the country, and it doesn't count the thousands, yes, millions of friends we have all over the world who are doing the same wherever they live. So, yes, we value life, and we always will value life, and God puts us together in families. And what God joins together, no man should separate. And we know life is broken and gets broken up for all kinds of reasons and sins, and we live with that. We bind people up. We care for people through those situations. But we also know God created marriage, and it's a blessing. And aside from sin and its challenges, marriage is the greatest way to do it.
Being and remaining Lutheran, you've emphasized here already this afternoon, happens and must happen in individual congregations. Why is that so important, Matt?
The church, indeed, it's very interesting. The word for church is used in the Bible for the local congregation. It's used for a regional church. It's used for the Una Sancta, for all believers in Christ, across the ages. The church manifests itself locally. That's where you know where it is, where you've got the Word of God truly preached, and baptism, Lord's Supper, confession, absolution, rightly administered to people right there in some local context. And that happens constantly all over the world. That's where we know the church is. And we, though we certainly believe the church is beyond the Lutheran Church and beyond the Missouri Synod, we are no fundamentalist sect, no kooky cult. Nevertheless, we have a confession of the faith which we believe. And finally, it's very simple, and you'll find it in Luther's Small Catechism, which is just a summary of the basic teachings of the Bible. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession and absolution, and the Lord's Supper.
Finally then, Matt, why is it as important as it ever has been for Lutherans to be and remain Lutheran today?
It is our charism. It's our gift. We have an ecumenical gift to give to the world, and that is, we know more clearly than just about anybody else that salvation is an absolute, pure, unmerited gift of God. And I can know for sure that salvation is mine, not because of anything I do or inside of me, but because Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." I have many friends in other denominations and churches who believe in Christ. But we uniquely in the Lutheran Church speak of the absolute clarity, the crystal clarity of the gospel of Christ, which is free and meant for all. And it's received by faith alone, not by any decision of ours. And it's doled out. The remarkable thing about the Bible is it says, baptism now saves you. Not the washing of dirt from a body, but pledge of a good conscience toward God. Guess what? Baptisma, it says there, and the pledge word ends with the same ending. Peter is saying baptism is the pledge. And we believe that the body and blood of Christ, somehow, the same body and blood on the cross, are in the Lord's Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. What? For the forgiveness of sin. And where there is forgiveness of sins, Luther says, there is life and salvation. Guilt is done. That is a beautiful message. That is our gift to give to the world. That is our charism to give to our neighbor, to give to the kid in my own house in a cradle, to give to my family, to give to my neighborhood, to share with my friends at church, and to spread everywhere around the world.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Let's Be Who We Are. You can read it and purchase Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? At our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks for what you do, Todd. God bless you and all your wonderful listeners out there. We love you all.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Chris Roseborough about the 2019 prophecies that are coming out. We'll discuss classical Lutheran education with Pastor Rob Paul, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is called The Christian Difference, an Explanation and Comparison of the World's Religions. You'll find the key teachings, the sacred texts, the creeds, and the doctrinal views of these other religions compared with Christianity. 1-800-325-3040, or see the book at our website, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.